The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us this morning from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. To another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. Immediately, the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received the 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground, and he buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing an additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you greater responsibilities. Come and share in your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents came forward and he said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I'll give you greater responsibilities. Come and share your master's joy." The one who had received the 1 talent came forward and he said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant, and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here is it back." His master said to him, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not have put my money in the bank so that I could have gotten back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. How many people here were here 3 years ago when Deacon Mark gave his homily? He gave a very enlightening homily. I listened to it this morning, very similar to what I'm going to say. I was very fortunate to have a great parables professor when I was at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. He was a Jesuit by the name of John Donahue. I don't know if he's still alive, but he was just a wonderful professor. I had learned so much from him. And here's one of my favorite definitions from my theology studies. And it's a definition of a parable. And it comes from a man named C.H. Dodd, who wrote a whole book about it. He said this, "A parable is, quote, a metaphor or a simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought." So rather than give precise definitions of what the kingdom of God is, or who God is, or who your neighbor is, Jesus tells somewhat mysterious and poetic stories. So parables leave the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application, which is the opposite way we often think about parables, I think. We tend to box the parables in. We already know the point, don't we? The parable about the good shepherd and the lost sheep. It's about God going to great lengths, right, to bring the sinner back into the fold. The one about the prodigal son, it's about forgiveness. The parable about the guy who goes and he's thrown seeds all over the place, some falling on rocky ground, some falling in fertile ground, some among the thorns that choke it. Well, that's about the various kinds of reception the gospel gets. In one gospel, Jesus even explains it for his disciples, because his disciples didn't like things to be vague. And neither do we. We don't like things to be vague. We like parables to be clear. And as a result, our minds may not be teased into active thought the way that Jesus wanted them to be, because we already know the parables, right? Well, not so fast. This story today. The normal way of understanding this story today is this. The man, who is an aristocrat, by the way, who has a lot of money, he can go away. Most people can't go away because they don't have much money, but this guy does. He goes away. And going on a journey, he gives his servants, his retainers, 3 measures of money. And by the way, there's a little intentional humor here in this story, which usually goes overlooked, because a talent is a huge amount of money, maybe 15 to 20 years worth of wages. And one gets 5 talents. That's 75 years of wages. So you can imagine the crowd perking up. You know, it's like Jesus saying, a man gave one servant $1 million. So you can imagine the crowd perking up and laughing. $1 million? And you can see why Jesus uses sometimes over-the-top examples when he talks, to help people to remember things, to encourage people to pass the story on. So, somebody would say, hey, did you hear the story that Jesus told about the guy who gives his servants $1 million? And that's how the story got passed on. Well, back to this parable. As you heard, the servants take care of their talents in various ways. The one who invests wisely and gives his master a good return on his harvest is rewarded. The retainer who doubled it, both of them who doubled it, they were doing the dirty work for the aristocrat who went away to make him money by exploiting other people. That's how they made their profit. Now, the English word talent is used for talaton, the Greek word for a unit of money. And as a result, this parable usually is understood as an encouragement to use your talents, your gifts. Not to squander what God has given you. I mean, that's what the kids are going to go share, because that's what whoever it was thinks that that's what the parable is about, our gifts. You know, go share your gifts. Well, that's a good thing. You should share your gifts. But that's not what this parable is about. It has nothing to do with this parable. It's not Jesus meant by the parable. That's not what the first hearers heard. Now, I'm going to shake you up a bit because you don't remember Mark's homily. You know, we have domesticated Jesus and his subversive message. We have to understand him within the culture of his time and the domination system which he was so critical of, and the way people made money and got their wealth that he criticized, especially in this parable. People in Jesus' time did not live in a capitalistic system where one who invests was celebrated. There was only so much money to go around. And the one who amassed great wealth, like this aristocrat that went away, was seen as taking it from others. He exploited it. It's how he got his money and his wealth, was by exploitation. And he had his retainers do the same thing for him while he was gone. So you can tell this from Jesus' story about the man who stores up treasure in heaven. Remember that story? Who stores up treasure in his barns, rather? He's greedy. And he gets punished. But Jesus is all about social justice. The aristocrat, the man going on the journey, the one percenter, is not to be seen as a stand-in for God in this story. And the parable is not meant to be an exhortation for people to use their God-given gifts to the full. While that's an important thing for us Christians to do, it was not the way that Jesus' first hearers understood the parable, since talaton does not have that connotation in Greek. And in Matthew's gospel, this is the third parable that stresses the need for his disciples to be faithful in the in-between times between Jesus' departure and his second coming. So it's part of a larger point that Jesus is trying to make. In contrast to slaves who live in fear of a greedy master, who punishes those who will not go along with his program for wealth, that will not exploit others, Jesus' disciples are to live in trust in God, whose love helps them to work for justice in the here and now, while awaiting ultimate fulfillment. So, in a story, who is the hero? It's the last servant who does not invest. He is the model and the hero, not the ones who invest. Why is he the hero? Because he takes the money out of circulation. The money can no longer be used by the aristocrat to dispose more peasants from their land. So the parable shows what happens when someone exposes a corrupt system and stands outside the normal ways of doing things, like this servant did. He's a whistleblower of sorts. And what happens to whistleblowers? They get punished. That's why most of us won't do it. And that makes the very strange verse about the ones with more getting more and the one with little getting less make sense. And for people in first century Palestine, that would have been bad news. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And many Christians found that to be unjust, because it is unjust. And that's what Jesus is saying. Anytime the rich benefit off of the poor, that's unjust. Now that's pretty confusing, isn't it? Have I just upended the way you thought about that parable? But many of Jesus' parables are supposed to be confusing. They are to tease the mind into active thought. So what did he mean exactly? What are we supposed to take from it? Well, I think all this points to the need for some serious scripture study, studies of the parables, which I gave a couple of years ago. But it also means some serious soul searching. What does the parable say to you now? Are you called to use your talents more? You know, your gifts that God gave you? Yeah, all right, you are. That's good. But more importantly, Jesus is saying that you're called to work against unjust systems in this world. Both points are valid. Use your talents, but more importantly, we are to work against injustices. We are to work for racial and ethnic, for gender and economic equality. And the risen Christ continues to speak to us through parables. And just like the disciples, we find them quite mysterious. But trust the Holy Spirit is at work in you when you listen to these parables or when you read them. And trust that God wants to move you in unexpected ways through his word. So which is the right interpretation? Well, I think it's the one that moves you closer to the kingdom of God. The one that challenges you, that moves you to compassion and conversion, that increases your love, and that builds a just world. The Spirit is always working in the Scriptures, even when we're confused. And while it's important to read scholarly works as I do on the Gospels and to read commentaries and to listen to those who teach, it's important to trust the Spirit is at work in your heart. Use your head, but trust your heart. And use your God-given talents to make this a better and just world for all to live in. And that may entail becoming a whistleblower. That may entail bucking the system.